if there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, live streamed on YouTube and on X, multi streaming. Natasha Van says, I hope you just watched Candace. I did watch Candace. I watched her yesterday's clip, but not her 2 days show. So if you're talking about the current live of this afternoon, no, I haven't watched it, but let me know what it's about. But I want to talk about what she revealed and said yesterday, because we have truly. Cancel culture in full operation here in the Daily Wire, working extremely hard to punish its escaped slaves. Let's say it this way. The slaves that have escaped the plantation, and that seems to be Candace Owens and Brett Cooper. And Candace has described the entirety of the harassment that these people are doing. And we have Entropy also being closed. I want to do an homage first and foremost to Entropy. We'll talk about all this, but there is movement. Basically, there is a cancel culture that is continuing, that is completely in violation of fair competition laws in Canada and the US. And the governments are going with them, and the private harassers and private corporations like Daily Wire using legal warfare to silence their opponents. They're really losing it. They're losing their shit. And it's at the same time, it's worrying because they're winning on some points. Like they just got Entropy shut down. On the other hand, it's reassuring because it shows the desperation. And they're really on their last stretch here because they tried this 8 years ago. And people like me, they tried ruining us completely into the ground. Didn't work as far as my personal life goes, you know. They did damage. And yes, it's an enormous cost to be making the choices I've made in life, but I always made it true. And I'm still speaking freely today. Still one of the actual internet OGs to be speaking freely among the few that are left. But with Candace, we're talking about a totally different scale of things. Candace is so much bigger than me. And it's like, yeah, you're going at a behemoth here. You're going at a level 15 woman here. And I don't think there's a way they can get to her. I think she's going to come out always stronger. And the more they harass her, the more they expose the real plan, which is they want to shut down any anti-Israel voices. They want to buy the whole public space. They want no possibility for any alternative view to be able to spawn. And if it spawns, they want to attack it. Natasha Van says it was mainly about Jeremy Boring's behavior. Well, it's exactly what I want to talk about, because the clip of yesterday, I think Candace may have documented all of it yesterday already, and perhaps she's done it in a more professional way on her show today. But just the clip of yesterday was providing plenty of information. These people are absolutely anti-American, anti-competition, anti-capitalist. They are just as bad as the left as far as cancel culture goes. The Daily Wire does not belong in the right wing. It is not a right-wing corporation. They pose as right-wing. They have the exact same tactics of the left when it comes to combating their competition in an illegal, criminal way. Let's talk about Entropy first, because this team of Entropy, they are great guys. They have been targeted by cancel culture. They tried doing this 1 or 2 years ago. They started publishing mainstream articles about them. It didn't really catch last year when they tried to cancel them, But this time it caught, and it seems that Entropy is now closed. Personally, I had stopped using the service because I was trying to restore YouTube Super Chats, but I've always appreciated that the Entropy team, for about 10 years, they've been in operation in the live streaming business. In absolute response to censorship, Entropy has decided to put together a side website where people could send Super Chats and we could bring it on our screen on Streamlabs. They have developed this entire parallel system for where the money was passing, precisely because all of the regular channels of money were becoming unavailable to people. And somehow they got caught. Somehow the mainstream media started knocking on their door, as described by Nick Fuentes. Let's listen to Nick describing the situation.
So get a load of this. So we've been using Entropy for years, and they are the censorship-proof platform. Dude, they have taken their chunk of flesh. They charge me 15% on every Super Chat, which is insane. But they've been good. I don't want to complain. They've been very good to me. But that's a lot.
Well, it's still less than YouTube. And as far as I know, it's pretty much in line with what the business does. You have to know that they have fees to cover themselves. It's not just they have to host the website. They have to pay percentage on anything that passes through a credit card straight to the credit card company. So 15% is actually the standard in the business and, in fact, lower than YouTube.
The big processing fee. So we've been with Entropy for, I don't know, maybe like 6 years, 5 or 6 years or something. Censorship proof, Super Chat service. We've worked very closely with them. They support the show. All of a sudden, in just the past 3 months, there's been a ton of media pressure on the Super Chats. There was some big expose on this company in Canada. They sent
these people that are going after Super Chats, by the way, they never get Super Chats. The Daily Wire doesn't run on Super Chats. Why? Because their audience wouldn't pay for this shit. The only people who want to pay the Daily Wire are billionaires who want a certain point pushed onto the audiences. But the internet has completely broken this system, which is the system that was in operation for the last 80 years. The media sells itself to rich people. Rich people want certain ideas to be pushed into the public mind. And that's it. And they buy the media. And Daily Wire is still on this dinosaur system. So when they see Super Chats, they're very pissed. When they see that crowds are now determining what content succeeds by their sheer will, that is incomprehensible to people in the mainstream media business, because all they do is sell your mind to the biggest payer.
Journalists out to another country on the other side of the planet where they live, banging on their door, hunting down their processor, because the Entropy website supports this show. And that's ultimately what led to them getting shut down. They had a ton of banking problems, and this is because of the press putting pressure on them. Then there was another piece in Washington Post a couple weeks ago about how much money I make from the Super Chats. So it's happening all over again. It's happening. This is how it goes. I told you it would be like this. It is a boom and bust cycle, which is to say that whenever I get an opportunity, whenever I exploit a loophole, somebody is able to adapt and figure out a way to give me a platform, give me an ability to make money. I'm able to put my clips on Instagram, whatever. Literally, when I'm even on the playing field, forget about a level playing field, a fair playing field, whenever I'm allowed on the field, whenever they let me out of the box that I'm eating, whenever they let me out of the penalty box, whenever they let me out of the cage, and I get to even get on the field, I just crush everything in sight. I just destroy everything, number one all the time. And then what always happens is they catch up, journalists, the Jews, Israel, the government, and then they close all the loopholes, and then I'm in prison for another 3 years.
So what Nick is describing here is absolutely accurate. It's an anti-competitive practice that is enacted by institutions that are hostile to Nick Fuentes and to people like me who are saying things that Israel doesn't like. This is what's happening. And they are operating illegally in contradiction with all of the laws of any developed nation that says you should have fair competition in any sector. But they're not about fair competition. They can't handle even handicap competition. It's like Nick is running at a handicap. He's been running at a handicap his whole life, and he's still crushing, as he describes. I mean, just how, to what level of ridicule are these people willing to bring it? Because it's like the attempt at censorship against us has shaped the internet. It has led to moves like Elon Musk buying X. Why did he have to buy X? Because the people who were in charge were censoring. They were violating the law. They were anti-competitive. Let us bring back the law as it is written: competition, fairness for everyone. And let the winners win. We know that you guys will not win. We know that the Daily Wire is interesting no one with a thinking mind. And at this point, there really are all Israelis just chilling on a couch with cigars and wondering, how the hell do we deal with Nick Fuentes and Candace Owens? We'll see clips of this. It's hilarious. The Daily Wire is has become this dinosaur pro-Israeli lobby that's just wondering, how did the world come to be that way? I can get it in a way. You know, Nick is funny. That's always what they say. Nick is funny. Well, you know, being funny, he wouldn't have made it with just being funny. No doubt that Nick is funny. But there's something that Nick does that you guys will always refuse to do, that you're in fact paid not to do. Actual engagement with the truth. Actual moral principles. Not selling to the first buyer who shows up. Having an actual opinion on the quality of the work you're doing. Sadie Edwards says, nobody looks over their shoulders at night. Okay, I won't mention the rest. Marby Dog says, Matt Walsh was the only thing interesting on Daily Wire, but he is totally owned too. Yeah, I mean, Matt Walsh is the one that people... Unfortunately, Matt Walsh is engaged in a form of deception because he's giving false hope to his base. And he's in a very bad spot. He can never be free where he's at. So people are kind of giving hope to Matt Walsh by thinking maybe at some point he's going to revolt. But you don't revolt when you're embedded that much into the system. When you've been dragged around in a leash most of your adult life, you know, the revolt moment is best when people like me, we did it, like, I did it at 29, 30 years old, maybe. Like, I realized that the official system is crap and we need to stand publicly and state the truth for everyone to hear. You don't get that from a Matt Walsh. He's too old, he's too embedded, his life is all set, so he has nothing to gain. Other than perhaps peace with his own soul. Need Staff says, Nick streaming on X could put Musk in an awkward situation that would really require him to stand on principle or be exposed as a liar. I don't even know that Nick can stream on X because, remember, he doesn't have the premium access. He cannot buy premium. And that may mean that he cannot upload bigger videos, or perhaps he has live streaming limits. I don't even know if that's possible. But definitely, yes. Definitely, Elon Musk is in a lie. He's in a big lie as long as he doesn't allow Nick Fuentes as a full-fledged member. My message to woman. So woman, if you are watching this, this is my message to you. You have to grab it while it's hot. And here you have an opportunity that's absolutely unique. I am available for marriage, and I have not yet published my cookbook. Once I publish my cookbook, I cannot guarantee that I will be available for marriage. So if you are a woman, you want to grab the Bitcoin while it's at the low price. You want to grab JF while he's an easy catch. Because once that cookbook is out, ladies, it's going to be like panties going off, like shoo, 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 shoo. So contact me. I will not be publishing my cookbook for the next 3 months. So you have a 3-month period of grace where you can contact me and I will marry you and I will love you. But in 3 months, white people food will be out. It will be on Amazon. There will be women across the world buying this book and getting fascinated by my high-level cuisine. White People Food by J.F. Gariepy, Survival, Frugality, Happiness, with my absolutely stunning brown fry recipe. I also have the golden fry recipe, perfect bistro fries, my creme brulee, my burger pretzel bun. I am now ready to publish White People Food. But I would love to secure a woman for marriage before, because I know that once you have written a cookbook, it's like sex on the everyday. It's like woman queuing at the door, just wanting to have a one-night stand. I would like to settle down first. I would like to have a wife first. We marry quick. We live together. That way, whenever I get these solicitations, I can say, sorry, I'm married. But you have to grab it now, because if you don't, I will just fuck all of these women. I will just fuck all of these women who will adore me for my cooking skills. So the chance is here. The ball is in your camp. My life is good, okay? I actually don't need all that much a woman, but I have my principles, and I believe that men and women are meant to live together and love each other. So grab the chance, send me an email, and let's marry and have babies. It's Men's Fault says, how long have you been single now? I think I've been single for 5 months, 6 months. So I'm ready to move on. Beta Test Band says, quick question. Following your book, am I losing or getting weight? Well, the cookbook itself, if you eat a lot of these recipes, you will gain weight. It's not a cookbook about eating healthy. It's a cookbook about doing things properly. But let me tell you, you don't have to get fat just because you buy my book. Just the love of doing things correctly, doing brown fries correctly, doing golden fries correctly, it will actually lead you to need less food. Because if you stuff yourself with Cheetos on the everyday, you need a lot of it to be satisfied. And eventually you get used to the taste and you need even more of it. Whereas the fact is, if you spend hours just preparing the perfect fries, you're not going to need to eat much of it. Each of the fries is going to be delicious. You're going to be saucing it in one of my 30 different sauces, fry sauces. And it's going to be a pleasure that you can enjoy at a lesser calorie level. So in a way, if you approach this book as I'm eating more quality food, but less volume, you can actually eat very healthy while eating these things. It's just a matter of quantity. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, when white people food is successful, will you consider writing Jewish people food? Absolutely. I can guarantee here, because I want to be fair to all of the cultures out there. I will publish White People Food first, and then I will spend the next 30 years of my life just researching in depth some of the other food cultures that I'm fascinated about, like African food, Middle Eastern food, Asian food, Indian food. And we're going to have a single volume for each of these cultures. Just give me the time. It's research. It's more research because those are cultures I'm less connected to. But give me 30 years and I'll just lay out a full volume series. For now, what I will get out is white people food, okay? Sadie Edwards says, JF single-handedly destroys Guy Slop with this book. Yes, in a way. In a way, absolutely. Because I have found magical ways to work with what you have. My rules with this book was, I don't want to send you toward an ingredient you cannot find immediately. So it's all food that you can go at a Walmart, you can get it. But what do you do with this food? And now the book is almost fully written. 10 pages left for me to write because I've changed my target. It's going to be 300 pages. So now I'm at 290 pages. I've even deleted some pages. I've done some filtering. I found some recipes weren't good fits. So they all went out. So I'm back to 290 pages and aiming for 300. I found out that 300 is really the maximum for the price to be reasonable. I'm going to be selling this book. Unfortunately, I have to price it high. But I found a way to squeeze it at $59.99. So that's going to be the price of the book. It's most of the money goes into printing cost. That's just what it is. But at $59.99, I'm comfortable. It's within an acceptable range. It's a higher price cookbook, but it's a much thicker and much more illustrated cookbook. So White People Food will be out very soon. I hope in 3 to 4 months. In any case, I want it to be absolutely available for Christmas because I know that there's a lot of wives who are telling me, I want to buy this for my husband. This will be a perfect gift for your husband this Christmas. And yeah, it's a very encyclopedic book. I've now gone through the hot dogs, the burgers, all of the styles of burgers and hot dogs that you can possibly make. All of it is there in combinatorial explosion form. So you make one choice, you make a second choice, you make a third choice. It brings you into various branches of the tree of decision. Absolutely fascinating book. I don't know any cookbook that's even close to this. In my view, this is the best cookbook that could be put together. And yes, I have a poutine guide. It's not even a recipe because I have a poutine guide where you have to go at 3 different places of my book. You learn how to do the fries correctly. You learn how to source cheese curds. You learn how to do the sauce correctly. And then you can make a poutine. You don't even need a recipe. YouTube commenter says, I'm going to buy the book for my sister who is pregnant with her second child and is now very pro-white after overcoming her university brainwashing. That is excellent. If she needs a third baby, you know who to call. You know who to call. Marby Dog says, JF, are the food pictures in your book from Kitchen or Pinterest? It is a mix. It is a mix. So this poutine I have made myself and I have photographed myself. This poutine is a genuine, because you can't get AI or get even Shutterstock to sell you a properly photographed poutine. Just doesn't exist. So I did it myself. So for many of the things, I was the only one capable of doing it. I did it. So I would say about maybe 20-30% of the book is my photography. Then look at this liver with onion. That is AI built. That is AI built. I got AI to build certain of the pictures. I would say maybe 5-10% of the book is things that were absolutely unavailable. I couldn't find a good picture that I could buy. And so that's often AI will help me. Like sometimes these Middle Eastern recipes, Turkish recipes, Balkan recipes, no trace on the internet at all. And so I'm like, okay, I need to learn how to do this dish. But then if I do it myself, I know I'm going to mess it up because I don't even know these cultures. So I'm like, let's work with what's available on the internet and let's teach AI to build it correctly. So that's about 5-10% of the book. And then I would say about 80% of the book easily is just images that I've purchased from services that already do this. They already have collections of every meal you can think of. And when it was available, that was my primary source. So that's the composition. Now, when there's a recipe that I'm very fascinated about, typically I will do it myself and I will photograph myself. But where AI will help is I can do the recipe to get the exact texture I want for the book. Like these fries have been the result of my research. I had to try about 36 batches of fries before I achieved this with the proper recipe and the proper order. Because I had to do the research because I had to give you all. So basically my book shows all of the research, but at the last page of the fry section, for example, I say, forget about all the research. Here's the final recipe and here's what's good. And it leads to this kind of fries. This is a set of fries that I've pictured myself. Now, where AI can help is you can add elements of decor that you didn't think about. For example, here I added a newspaper wrap around the fries. AI can help you do this. And this burger, this pretzel burger bun, that is also my own recipe. Absolutely stunning pretzel burger buns. Stephen Robinson says, we must set up a GoFundMe to fund white people food being sent free to our enemies as a form of activism. Oh, that would be a waste of money. Keep this knowledge for yourself, acquire the book for yourself, and don't talk too much about it. Dead Star says, do you follow the YouTube channel? Probably Best Chefs. The Fallow YouTube channel, probably Best Chefs on YouTube. I don't know about them. I will check them out. I follow a lot of cuisine on YouTube, but I never heard about them. Beta Test says, from revolutionary phenotype to traditional cuisine. And Lauren says, is there anything you can't do? You know what I can't do, Lauren? I can't inseminate you right now because you haven't sent me an email. So that's one thing I can't do. Until you solicit and consent, I cannot inseminate a woman. Inside Jordan Peterson's brutally painful illness as his wife reveals he's suffering serious side effects from benzo withdrawal. So Jordan Peterson is in a bad shape. I am preparing my writings for my tweet when he dies. I am preparing a list of what he's been doing wrong in his life. Because for these people who ignore me, who don't engage with my points, who try to demean me, I write something when they die. And it's generally hostile. It is a hostile review of their life. And I have one prepared for Jordan Peterson. He is currently suffering from the fact that he's been on benzo. He's been on benzodiazepine, and let me tell you, this will fuck up your mind. I have seen women and taken them off of benzo, and let me tell you, they are broken forever. They become psychotic. It's not even that they were psychotic before. It's just that the benzo and the lack of benzo is just driving them insane. They become absolutely insane, and those are... I am absolutely certain of my observation. Barnabé Buteau says, à la Falardeau. Yes, Falardeau, who said, go to hell, trash bag. when the father of Trudeau, Pierre-Éliott Trudeau, died, that is the style of pamphletism that I absolutely stand for. Dead Star says, the worst thing about Peterson is his rejection of Jungian personality function. Well, that's not the worst thing, if you want my... So this guy has been annoying, and I will ban him. It's men's fault. And what's this username? It's men's fault. This guy has been absolutely annoying. I say he. Maybe he's a she. If she says it's men's fault, maybe it's a woman. But you've been constantly producing hostile stuff and talking about private aspects of my life on the regular chat. I've tolerated you up to now, but now you're done. Banhammer. The Daily Wire and 3 years of harassment, an excellent telling by Candace Owens of the just absolute private harassment, legal warfare of annoyance that she's the victim of just for being a slave who escaped the plantation.
This is how they are. They will eventually pull you into the depths of just their hatred. They have a hatred that you can't hit upon. They fired me and they have not been able to let me go for 3 years. So let me tell you the true story of what Jeremy Boring is referring to. No, Jeremy Boring did not do me and my family any favors. It is the exact opposite.
So what they're trying to do is they're doing what Laura Loomer has been doing, which is, oh, big if true. Oh, we heard that. Oh, maybe that's true. I don't know. Oh, here's what a user has reported on X. I don't know if it's true. And it's so low. It's like, you guys are pathetic. You're losing so hard. It's actually heartwarming to see how distressed you guys are. They're trying to set up a situation where, according to just rumors, literally, just rumors, no facts, according to rumors, George Farmer would have been arrested for brandishing a weapon, which, by the way, this charge is absolutely abused in so many ways. You know, brandishing a weapon. People will get charged for this by just holding a weapon, really. So he, while he would have been drunk in a DUI accident or in a DUI situation, I don't know that anything is true in this. Perhaps there is some truth. But what they're trying to connect with the rumor is they're trying to get him into a criminal case where therefore he would be deported. And they're trying ultimately to break Kenda's family, because if he gets deported for this, that would mean that he's separated from his family. So that's how dirty they go. All of this because of a political disagreement with Candace. Raphael says, hey, JF, did you inseminate any new ones recently? No, my most recent insemination was 6 months ago or one year and a half ago. So I'm now ready. I'm now ready for marriage. I'm ready for settling down. All I need is a woman to contact me. Hopefully we can clip this and send it to the world, because the opportunity is unique. I'm still relatively low value. I haven't published white people food. So I'm still just an easy grab, ladies. And I will be always loyal to you. And we can have a life based around love and respect and baby making. It's time for a life change. It's the summer coming. Yeah, I'm thinking that perhaps seasonal strategic placement is the right way. I think that the coming summer will awaken a heat in the modern woman. She will feel the desire to marry me. That is what I hope. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the regular chat or use the streamlabs.com/JFGtonight/tip. Streamlabs is my favorite platform to receive super chat. Let's go to Mark Levin, also a very desperate loser, calling Nick Fuentes Lil Adolf. All of this in response to anonymous X accounts making fake analysis around, oh yeah, you know, Nick Fuentes is reverting to the Democrats and therefore it's always been an agitator. He's always been a paid agent of the government. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. First, the feds right now, they are very much under Trump, slaves to Israel. So if there's anyone who's a deep state actor who is winning inside the government, it is definitely Israeli interest. Secondly, the reasoning of Nick is absolutely correct, and it's not a new reasoning. It's something that has slid from 2018, from Richard Spencer. Nick Fuentes has been on those lines also. I've been on those lines also. It dates back to the fact that Trump betrayed us. It dates back to the fact that the Republican Party is not a right-wing party. So it's like these people are, we're the true right-wing. Nick Fuentes is really a leftist. Well, you're not the true right-wing because the Republican Party has not been enacting a right-wing project of any kind for America. And having the Republican Party has not fixed America. And we are still with a growing state. We are still in a welfare state. We are still in an immigrant state. Trump has been betraying his base. And you guys are the new base. You came very late, by the way. All of these MAGA cheerleaders that are calling everyone fed. You guys are a second generation comers. You're immigrants of the right wing on the internet. People like Nick Fuentes, people like me, were there way before you. We were rooting for Trump down back at the golden elevator days. That's how far it goes back. And you guys have tried to replace us. You've tried to develop a new discourse around the fact that what Trump is giving us is satisfactory, and you're all hiding. This is the common observation. You're all hiding under anonymous accounts. Not named, you're not working under your real name, and I suspect that you guys are a big psyop. And you're a big psyop to pass Trump, the new Trump, into the throat of America, and to ask right-wingers to accept this as this is what you're going to get forever. And the only strat, the only proper strategy, and in fact I've been doing this argument earlier than Nick, the only proper strategy is to fully punish the Republican Party. You do this by voting for the other side. If you just don't vote for the Republican Party, that's half punishment. Half punishment is good, but it's not as good as complete punishment. And complete punishment is to vote for the Democrats. Broken Starter says, nope, Nick is wrong. That's not the argument. JF is not engaging with the argument. Well, tell me the argument. You haven't laid it out. What is the argument? The argument is we should vote continuously for the Republican Party, even if it has been infiltrated by foreign interest. Is that the argument? I think it's wrong. Now, you tell me what's your argument, but don't complain that I'm not addressing arguments. Just lay it out. I always read any regular chat of substance. I always read. I'm willing to read your argument, but lay it out. Marby Dog says, but JF, the new right is real and it's growing. But what is the new right? I don't think you can win at being right wing in a demographic race that you've lost. So I believe that the only way for something right-wing to develop is either a form of extreme statist authoritarianism of the social conservative kind, like Muslim-type nations, or it's an escape, like the formation of America. But if you don't do any of these two things, you cannot ever stay in place and win by persuasion. People around you are retarded. People around you do not benefit from an actual meritocracy. They all know the current system is a fraud. They get paid by it. They won in this fraudulent system. You're not going to convince them to go back to actual competition. Everyone is a benefactor of a skewed fake market. How do you think you're going to win in this situation? So Broken Starter is telling us his argument. He says, Nick went to work for Kanye, refused to help the white America First candidate in a primary, decided to go on vacation. Casey got almost 0% of the vote with no help and a lackluster campaign. What? Okay, let's go through this argument and address it. So first, Nick went to work for Kanye. That was a wonderful move by Nick. Kanye has had a reach for certain ideas that no one comparable has ever even existed. So Kanye has been bringing these talking points to people that would have never heard about them otherwise. Now, refuse to help the white America First candidate, Casey. Now, that's not a problem, because we have also to strategically distribute our alliances. So in my view, Casey was not going to win whether helped by Nick or not helped by Nick. And so I don't care. You are on your own. If you want to do a show, which is basically what these campaigns are very often, they're a show for self-elevation. It's not always the case in politics that you have to stand for the ideas that you truly believe in. Because if Nick had supported Casey, and Nick has actually mentioned this argument on his own show, I'm repeating it here. But if Nick had supported any of these third-party weird candidates, what do you think would be the headlines? It would be the Gripers have lost. Nick has lost America. So you cannot distribute your alliances just because you agree with someone. You have to understand that you can burn credibility by taking in losses that you don't need to take. And you have to choose your fights. So if you want to reproach to Nick for not having had this particular alliance, you can. But to me, it's meaningless because you're not a political strategist. You haven't succeeded at elevating yourself to the level where Nick has elevated himself. So you're worth nothing. Your opinion doesn't matter. That is the way I view it. Now, the final of your argument, he had a lackluster campaign. Doesn't matter. Because if you help this guy, then the New York Times titles Nick Fuentes lost. Nick Fuentes is so over. He lost. He made the bet that he would win with Casey. He didn't win. Therefore, his ideas are outdated. Marby Dog says, are you saying keep your powder dry, JF? Well, I'm saying in general, always consider the fact that there's the idealist view of what you want to accomplish in life. And then there's the pragmatic consideration of what you can. And sometimes what you can is so distant from what you want that this little world of the pragmatic decision may seem completely isolated. It may seem sometimes that you act in contradiction to your higher principles, but you're acting in the space of what you can do. Now, the space of what you can do is very important morally. And this has not been addressed properly in philosophical ethics. But it's also important politically and strategically. But it's not just this. It's like if you can't do something, you should not want it. That's a radical statement of great importance that you should reflect about. The ideals of what you want, the things you can do, but the things you can do at some point become the entire world of your moral decision. Because those things that you can't do, it's like, I want purple unicorns. Well, you can't have purple unicorns. So it's actually immoral for yourself to be pursuing purple unicorns because you're deceiving yourself. You're lying to yourself. And therefore, you should not want purple unicorns, because they don't exist. Just like you should not want to save America because America is not salvageable. Now, once you have acknowledged this, we can have a discussion about how do you improve your life? How do you get out of it? How do you save yourself? All of this is possible. But you should not deceive yourself. I've always stood for this. For 10 years, I've been saying it. Stop giving me these Patrick Littles who are just loose cannons who burn themselves out and who don't get any sort of traction because they can't accomplish something within the space of what's possible. They make you dream, they lie to you, but they can't accomplish anything. Marby Dog says, as chess pieces disappear from the board, strategies must change. Absolutely, well said. Broken Starter says Nick's whole argument for opposing Casey was that he doesn't want to help losers. Well, there you go. Excellent reason, excellent justification. And he says Kanye had no chance to do anything politically. Well, Kanye has accomplished something already. Kanye has been expanding consciousness around Nick Fuentes at a national and international level. So that is already an accomplishment. Can Casey do this? No. So already there was something to gain in the Kanye alliance that there was not to gain with Casey. And I consider that his decisions were rational. Now, that's my argument. You can buy it or not buy it. At this point, I've laid it out. You laid out your case. I've been fair to you, and I disagree with you. Ben Shapiro is seething about Nick Fuentes. I mean, the Daily Wire, Nick Fuentes is living rent-free in their head.
So, yesterday, Nick Fuentes, who calls himself America First, apparently America First means now being a Democrat.
Yeah, that's what it means, because the Republican Party has been infiltrated. So it's like Ben is mocking it as he says it. But yeah, no, it is. Because the Republican Party is so Israel First, there's no other choice than to consider that the Democrat Party is America First. It's more America First than the Republicans. Even if they do so accidentally, even if they hate America in their heart, they're accidentally doing better than the Republicans. That's how evil the political class of the Republican Party is. It's that they can be beaten by accident. The Democrat is now the party of America First accidentally, because the competition that they have for it is so low that they surpass the bar.
Here was Fuentes admitting his agenda.
I care about affordability. I care about foreign interventions. I care about the border. I'm a non-woke moderate Democrat. I think the GOP needs to be destroyed. I think the corrupt criminal government of Trump needs to be slowed down. We need to impeach the orange. It's time to put this in a peach. Trump needs to be placed inside of a crystal. He needs to be impeached. This fat orange tiny hands needs to be impeached. And then in 28, no Vance, no Rubio. We have to burn down the whole party.
Again, points for honesty. At least Fuentes says the thing out loud.
Yeah, Ben, we've never been signing with our blood a total allegiance to the Republican Party forever. It's just been that the case that in certain situations, the Republican Party under Trump in 2016 has given hope that perhaps there was a change possible. Turns out the hope was oversold. Turns out the first presidency wasn't too bad, but it wasn't good enough. And most importantly, it turns out that at this point, Trump has been fully conquered by pro-Israeli interests. And the Republican Party is that way. Therefore, the only option is to have a Democrat Party that will be managing in a leftist way the economy. But do we get a right-wing economy under Trump? No. We get an economy of corruption, of friends being favored, of plays on the markets, of self-enrichment at the expense of the rest of society without any addition to the productivity of the world. We get these contracts, we get these state acquisitions like TikTok, where basically the state steals a corporation and then ensures that it is sold to someone powerful. So we're not getting a free market competition, free right-wing economic. So at this point, why would we vote for Republicans?
He also admits, by the way, that the only thing keeping him going is Israel. You'll notice that he is wearing
And by the way, I say we vote. I don't vote because I'm not an American, but I am not cheering for the Republicans. That's my side of it.
A half zip for James Fischbeck, the Florida candidate for governor who is going to clock in well below 10% in the Republican primaries. We'll get to that in a little while. He says basically the only thing keeping him going at all right now is Israel, because that's the point of unity. Right? That is the point where, again, the left and the new left all come together.
Well, yes. And it's an important point of unity. It's not a bad strategy to be connecting the left and the right on this common point, which is that we know that as long as foreign interests are controlling American politics, neither the left nor the right can get what they want. So let's get it done with this issue first, and then let's move on to an America that can have an actual debate at some point, maybe. But as long as we can't have the debate, as long as when we vote for the Republicans, the pro-Israeli elite switches to the Republican, and then Democrats win, and then the pro-Israeli elite rotates toward the Democrats. As long as we're playing this game of rotation, we're not advancing really in terms of having a program for the future of America. This right here is absolutely beautiful. It is a bunch of Daily Wire people just wondering about what is wrong with the world. Everyone likes Nick Fuentes. Well, he's kind of funny. I get it.
People like Myron Gaines and Sneeko and Nick Fuentes, because I think they sort of accurately diagnose a problem for the most part, but where they are...
Yeah, the Jews are behind everything.
Right. Well, hang on.
Shabbos custom endorses? Wow.
No,
so here you can feel the tension. Someone has just said in the room, Nick Fuentes is right. And then they're like, well, what is he right about? Is it... Jews, Israeli interest? No. He's right about young men, the plight of young men. They always go back to this. It's like, well, I don't think that Nick would have had great success if his point was just, oh yeah, life is terrible for young men, bro. Yeah, bro, Gen Z is in shit. Oh, that sucks, bro. That is not what led to the popularity of Nick Fuentes, but they keep trying to redirect. They can't say why he's been successful. They can't put their finger on it, and someone did it and immediately got pushed back. And let's leave this on the side.
I agree with the diagnosis that for young Gen Z men, as a Gen Z man, I can relate to the fact that many of my friends are sort of victims of...
I would call it an observation, not a diagnosis.
No, because I think it is an accurate diagnosis.
There's no difference between an observation, a diagnosis, that doesn't change anything. They're skating to try to avoid the big elephant in the room, which is that Nick Fuentes didn't get popular just because he understands that this world is sick for young men.
I agree. It's
but where they're wrong is they'll say, okay, so we're fucked and that's it. And again, going back to Marco Rubio, No, things are bad, sure, but we actually have, and again, this is where I think we have a particular obligation as conservatives, we can say we have really good ideas that can actually help you. Chief among them, again, this is why Charlie was the glue that held us all together, is like find community, find meaning, right. Whether that's in church, which I think it is more than movies, but if not at church, then find movies. Like
finding community will not fix this. There is a problem of parasitism in the economy. There is a problem of ideological slavery, there is a problem of cartels, there is a problem of anti-competitive practice. You're not going to fix this by going at a egg sandwich party with your local Christians or whatever. There's also a problem of female sickness and mental issues and females being put into the medical line that gets them infertile and insane in the head. There's a problem with marriage. There's a problem with legal entitlement of fathers. You're not going to fix this by going at a movie, okay? I don't even... Is there such a thing as movies still? Because last time I went to a theater, it was empty. You're not going to get community by going at a movie.
Be with human beings. And that side...
No, being with human beings will not fix it. All of the problems I've listed are endemic and they cause problems even when you establish a contact with a human being. The fact is, life seems pretty easy for you on your little cigar lounge chair. I'm sure you go out there and have human links. That is not how most people of Gen Z experience the world. Because you have money, you're funded by this whole entity, you have your little hat, they know that you're going to be on the right side, so they can pour money down your life. And they know that they'll always have a good slave. Matthew Weber says, I appreciate JF's courage to speak on the woman question. There's too many simps out there. Oh, absolutely. One of the great divider that tells you that someone is not truly engaged in a fix for society is a lot of these guys who think that they got away with okay. They think, oh, well, I got it okay, or maybe I'm going to get my chance. And they refuse to address the woman problem. That is the best marker of someone who actually doesn't have a solution for society. They refuse. They will tell you all about conservative principles, but it will stop at, yeah, fathers should have control over their children even when their fucking wife goes crazy. Nuts Dalt says the mainstream right won't let go of their concept of what America is, even if its practices are incompatible with today's state of development. Yes, absolutely. Stephen Robinson says, by a judge reports Zero Edge, Jeff Epstein's suite note has been reportedly unsealed. Okay, I don't know about this. That seems to be a developing news. I'll look at it. I've personally never doubted that Jeff Epstein did kill himself. I do think that's the case. We have developments in the AI world. Usage limits are up. Effective today, Claude will be doubling Claude's code 5-hour limits for Pro, Max, and Team, and seat-based enterprise plans, removing peak hours limit reduction on Claude code for Pro and Max plan, substantially raising our API rate limits for Opus models. Well, I'm happy that they're taking this direction because they've been terrible. You know, I've had good stuff from Claude, but I was never able to use it in a productive way because it stops working after 2-3 prompts sometimes. Even as a paying customer, I bought the Google AI One setup, which should have included Claude. But then I use my Claude credits within 1 or 2 questions. And sometimes Claude was extremely insightful on this 1 or 2 question. He found a bug in code that other AIs had difficulty finding. But then you can't even get through the fix. It's like I had to take Claude's reasoning and then copy-paste it back to ChatGPT to get the bug resolved in my game. So Claude has been unusable because of the credits limits, even as a paying customer. John Drake says, I pay 30-something bucks for ChatGPT and they throttle me after a couple of questions. It's horrible. Oh yeah, ChatGPT, I use it at the $140 level. That's just what I found to be where you can work continuously all day and it's never going to give up. That's at the $140 level. I'm satisfied by the work of ChatGPT. Of course, it's a big price, but it's been working that way. Grief says, JF, my girlfriend is ginger and is taller than me. Have I won or lost it all on red? I think you're in a good situation, bro. You have a girlfriend. Just don't lose time in your life. Aim for insemination. Maybe you're young. Maybe it's you don't feel the urge. But aim for insemination as soon as possible. A baby produced is never lost. Unless he's getting aborted. But that's... You can't score the goals that you don't take the shots for. So always take the shot. take the shot with your ginger girlfriend, inseminate this ginger immediately or whenever it becomes feasible. Thank you very much for the support. And it seems that the cloud announcement happens in parallel where Elon Musk has announced that he will be providing the infrastructure. SpaceX and XAI has just announced that it has signed an agreement with Anthropic to provide access to its Colossus One supercomputer. Anthropic plans to use this additional compute to directly improve capacity for Cloud Pro and Cloud Max subscribers. So Elon will be providing the computing power. It seems that Elon maybe had bought so much computing power and had built such a magnificent XAI set of servers and computers that he has extra. So he can now afford selling some to Cloud, and that will serve Cloud. But Elon has also said that they reserve the right to take back the compute power if the company doesn't go for in a way that helps humanity. Now, that's something that Elon has been strong for. And it's kind of well-intentioned, but I would remind Elon, the path to hell is paved with good intention. Let me tell you, Elon, you don't know what's good for humanity. You don't know. You're going to want to do good. Your AIs are going to be used in all sorts of ways. You don't even understand what is good. You don't understand the consequences of the future ecology of humanity, of your current actions. So, oh, good, let's help refugees. That's good for humanity, isn't it? Well, then you help refugees. Then your nation becomes different. It comes with different values. Then everything starts looking like shit. It's very easy for a good intention to lead to complete destruction and suffering. So I like that Elon has a care for it, but I don't like that he has the narcissism to believe that he knows. You need some humbleness, Elon, when you approach these questions, and you need to acknowledge that nature always handles better than humans. Nature always finds the equilibrium where humans would not, and where humans would have pushed it too far one way or another. Now, Elon says XAI will be dissolved as a separate company, so it will just be SpaceX AI, the AI products from SpaceX. Elon constantly does these rearrangements. People have commented on this in the past, and they said it's some kind of financial way of reorganizing thing, of paying everyone who's been involved in the founding. He's probably going to redistribute shares and does all sorts of financial restructuring of that kind. Sometimes it's meaningful. Sometimes it's just for financial theories and stuff. I don't know why he's doing it, but it seems XAI will not be a thing anymore. It will be SpaceX. We will now be... I think it goes also with his idea that we might put AI in space, because he thinks that there's a better way to handle heat escape in space, apparently. So since you're in space, you have much less cooling cost and you can run off solar energy. That's his idea. I find this radical. Maybe it's possible. Something tells me there's going to be some technicals along the way that will be prohibitive. I have a hard time believing that somehow you can do all of this stuff in space, transmit it at less cost than what you can do. But the theory of Elon is that the heating issue is so costly to handle on Earth, and so easy to handle up there that it's worth having the laser that carries back the data. I mean, if we're at the point where we're building these gigantic GPUs, like industrial level, full room of GPUs, I guess perhaps that's the point where outer space becomes viable. Green Fez says, what temperature is outer space? I think it depends on the amount of radiation you get. But if you're talking about the background of the universe, isn't it related to the microwave background radiation and extremely cold, like close to zero Kelvin, but something above it because of precisely the background radiation? Forex says, with mid-GPT and mid-cloud, I hit the cap the first day I tried both. With the $140 to $200 option, I don't hit daily limits for either working all day with big teams. Exactly. That's why I'm also at this level. It's the level at which you can constantly work and get the AI to produce its max and never get credit limited. Megan Kelly coming up with the elbow from the third rope. Don't you have a company to save? You gotta love the childishness of Megan Kelly and her childish insults, always in the wars between Fuentes, Candace Owens, and Ben Shapiro. Green Fez says zero Kelvin. Yikes! Yeah, it is cold. It is cold. Bezos JF. Ha ha. I don't know what that means. Bezos. And I was shocked by this. Bob Fosse in the Little Prince movie from 1974 had a massive influence on Michael Jackson. So apparently there's this movie in 1974. Every dance move of Michael Jackson is just a reproduction of this stuff. So here he's walking in the desert with a grandma, waving his hands. Now he's doing some Michael Jackson moves. Those are things that I've seen Michael Jackson do. Okay, now he's doing... Yeah, Michael Jackson does this. Yeah, this is exactly what Michael Jackson has done. And here, that's also something Michael Jackson does. Now he's doing the moonwalk. He's doing the moonwalk, even the moonwalk of Michael Jackson comes from this movie. Well, bro, I didn't know this. I thought that Michael Jackson had invented these things. But it seems that it comes from a 1974 movie. Well, we're always influenced by the culture of our time, and we take it to a different place. In a different mood. GM for the People says, that grandma is creeping me out. Bob Fosse is sweet, though. I don't know about this movie, but yeah, it's kind of creepy. Well, what's the artistic representation here with this super small grandma? What is meant by this? I don't get it. So it's all a ripoff? Always has been. Says Plepidus. very surprising. Now, I think tonight I will be watching this movie, Project Hail Mary, with Ryan Gosling. The movie Project Hail Mary, it was advertised as a return to non-woke screenplays, but why did it feel like an extreme mockery of white men? Without giving away massive spoilers, the Earth is ruled by white German boss women and their dominant black helper males who speak in three-word sentences but are somehow in charge, presiding over a Shaniqua-infested global ruling class. Gosling plays a genius but weak and scared little man who won't stop screaming, who doesn't have a family, and not even a dog. He is considered expendable and forced to sacrifice himself to save humanity so that white boss woman can continue living with diversity. Now, I don't know. Is the movie telling us that this is good or is the movie mocking this? Because if it's as described, maybe it's a critique of all this. I don't know. I'm going to have to watch it tonight. But wow, is it really a movie that goes at the heart of the issue, which is that our women have abandoned civilization? That's the problem. That's woman that needs to be fixed, or the system around woman that allows them to do all these bad choices for themselves and for others needs to be fixed. And perhaps that's kind of a nightmare scenario that they made with this movie. I know it's from a book, but I don't know anything else about. So I'm interested. I will be watching this tonight, hopefully, if I can find access to it. And I'll come back with my commentary tomorrow. Kefir says, JF is worth paying for. Support, donate. Absolutely. If you like what I'm saying, if you like my product, I'm here every night to entertain you guys and discuss in full honesty what's happening in the world. Support me on Patreon or Subscribestar. That is how you can keep me going. I will keep going as long as I can survive on the little money that you guys sent me. And that's the goal of my life. That's what I do. As long as you can keep me alive, whenever you send me money, I buy eggs and beef, and then I eat this beef and I produce more shows. And sometimes I produce a book like The Revolutionary Phenotype, which this week I concluded that it got proven for one of its most important predictions. And then I'm going to have very soon white people food right here. White people food will be an absolute beauty to have in your... It's one of these books that even if you were not to read it, just having this in your library sends the right messages. It sends the right messages about what matters. Is white still hoiling? I haven't heard from him in a while, but sometimes he sends me Discord messages, but I think I haven't heard from him in a couple months, but he also has different nicknames. So I don't know. Sometimes he changes nickname. GM for the People says, JF is a machine for turning eggs and beef into shows. Exactly. That's exactly what I am. The beef is a machine. The cow is a machine to turn grass into steak. I am a machine to turn steak into cultural products.